Are you ready for the word tonight? Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 11. And I believe I have a message for us tonight. How many want to hear from God tonight? Matthew chapter 11. Have your toes recovered from last week? Jesus speaking, verse number 28, Matthew 11, 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, this is people that are laboring. They're doing something he's going to give rest to. I don't know about you, but I've had some heavy laboring days lately. Getting ready for my family coming in. They had a party today. My daughter invited all his family and friends over for a pool party today at our house. So when that happens, Patty says, "Okay, Jack, you got work to do." Been cleaning siding on the house. I mean, the video messed up. We tried to make yesterday. You should have seen my benching. I can't reach to the top of the house. So I took a swimming pool pole, big long, built a bracket to attach my pressure washer sprayer to, wired it open, stood on a 6-foot scaffold.
Oh, wow.
Started, and it's going, trying to pull me off the scaffold. I thought it may flip the scaffold. I had to shut it down. It was a sight. So we shut that one until I get another piece of scaffolding. Shore it up some. But I've been laboring. And I tell you, by the end of the day, I was ready for a rest. How many of you have labored ready for some rest?
Yes.
And there's not just rest physically. How many of we need rest for our soul?
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, your souls can wear out all the demands of the day, you know. Cares of this world, all the things we have to take care of. The job, the house, the kids, the whatever, parents. You know, we just came through a season of taking care of both of our mothers, and it was demanding.
Yeah.
I mean, demanding. And it stretched on not just us physically, but mentally.
Yeah.
You know, Patty's house is in a mess. This week, she's done really good. I've never seen a human tornado come through like our grandson this week. Toys everywhere. Our den that Patty tries to keep picked up. Apparently I messed that up a lot. Her plans. It was like a bombed out zone. I had to walk over stuff. All week she bit her lip and went through it. It's clean now. But it draws on your soul. And so we've learned to try to get rest for our physical body. But whether we know it or not, we are programmed to try to find rest for our soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going somewhere tonight. Can I stretch us a bit?
Yes.
I believe we're going to the glory of God.
Yes.
The glory of God requires we make some changes. It's another level of sanctification. And God's instructing us on some new things. At least he is me, and if he gives it to me, I'm giving it to you. I'm not going through this alone. That are demanding on us. And we've been talking about being all in, you know, about being catalysts and not just spectators. And again, it all deals with how much of God do you want? How much do you want to press in? And so I was been meditating this thing about rest. Because I'm seeing some things in my life and in the body of Christ that are drawing my attention, they're drawing my time, they really aren't producing anything. Now, Peggy is our resident gardener, maybe some of you may be as well, but she's a big time gardener. I've got harvest right over here. Are those tomatillas?
Yes.
Hey, I'm good. And I'm guessing, how many dandelions did you plant in your garden this year? No, you didn't plant any dandelions? Milkweed?
No.
How about ironweed? Cockleburrs?
No.
You plant things you're going to produce a harvest you want, right? And so many things we plant in our life could be likened to cockleburrs. he may not be damaging, but they're not producing any fruit. And I'm seeing myself drawn to these things, and I'm watching other people drawn to them that are escape mechanisms from all the things we have to do. Social media, I mean, oh, that's one of them. So we're trying to escape the cares of this world, our things to do list. I read a meme today, because apparently I was escaping to social media. I read a meme today, that one of the greatest delusions that man deals with is your list will be shorter next week.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have the time next week once you get these things done. And I've been in this for a while, and I found that to be true. The lists never go down. They expand.
They do.
You have to force them to go down by just not doing it. You follow me? I had it down before I got married. I was good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't wash dishes.
Yeah.
I left this up 2 weeks and I could feel them. Just peel the dishes after 2 weeks. You know the towels? Unless they crinkled, you know, when you tried to use them. You'd have to wash them. They're still good. A little sandpapery, but yeah, they still work. Now she got schedules for everything. Changing towels out. Vacuuming all this stuff. You know, really it's not mandatory for me. But things to do lists, they will just take your attention, all the cares of the things you have to do. How about this? Making everyone happy responsibilities. Trying to please everybody with what you're doing. The only thing you need to be concerned about is pleasing your husbands. I have the microphones. Pleasing your spouse, right? We live for one another. But the things to do, trying to make everybody happy, everybody's demands on you. Got to do this, got to go here, you know, got to visit this. Some of the things that steal our joy or our peace, that demand rest, are regrets in life.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have regrets of what they've done and it just haunts them.
Yep.
Or the victim mentality, what's been done to them, you know, just all the time. They need some escape from what they've experienced. Or fears. Amazing how many people are afraid of everything. And then, of course, now a lot of people are trying to escape TDS. Trump derangement syndrome. And they're virtually having mental meltdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, their lives are just, ooh, the world's going to come to an end. No, he just stopped World War III last week.
Yeah.
I've never, I've been doing this a while, so most of you, I've never seen a president as successful as this one. Bringing peace to the world. I mean, he just, I believe so, yes. I believe he's anointed of God for this through our prayers.
Yes.
For this in time. Just brought not just peace to Iran and Israel, but peace to, what was it, Rwanda and
yes.
Congo?
Yeah.
After decades of conflict, he brought peace.
Yeah.
Lance Wall has been talking about he's anointed as Osiris.
Yes.
To transform the world.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yes.
That people are still in meltdown mode over, you know, him taking MS-13 people and deporting them. So we have all these things that are stressing us, beating on us, and, you know, demanding our focus or attention, and our souls can get overwhelmed. And of course, I've noticed when people get overwhelmed, they go into meltdown mode. Stick with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed three things cause people to want to melt down. Not enough eating. In other words, you're hungry.
Yeah.
And you're hangry.
Yeah.
Lack of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, again, just spent a week, really 10 days with a 13-month-old.
Yeah.
And he's a joy. He grins all the time. Everything makes him. He loves Grandpa until he's tired.
Oh, yeah.
And then the only thing I can do to cheer him up sometimes is take him in the garage. He totally changed. I go in the garage with him. First, it's warm. First igloo I live in is warm in the garage. I'd get him out there. He'd see all those tools and nice, shiny things hanging there. He'd be like, whoa, Grandpa. He couldn't say it to you, but I could read his mind.
Just let me live. Yeah, we'll be
was mumbling to me a bunch today. Just he'd be mumbling. And I learned to interpret it. And I couldn't believe that he misspelled hippopotamus. And I said, U.S., not A.S. at the end of it. Anyway. These things that want to just stress you. You're programmed to try to find escape from that. You follow me?
Yeah.
What can I do to get rest for my soul? Rest for the flesh is easy. Sit down, right? Get some lemonade, whatever. Get some sleep. But the soul is it's a more complex thing. How do we get rest for our souls? And so some of the things we do, we're still in the introductory state, right? TV. I don't know about you, but it's common for people. End of the day, you worked all day, you've been going stressed all day, whatever. You sat down and you put on something. It doesn't matter if you've seen it 20 times. It's a mindless activity.
Yeah.
We've seen the video where the guy talks about men liking to not use their brains.
Yeah.
To find risk. They like fishing.
Yeah. Nothing box.
The nothing box, yes. But men and women the same are looking for some type of escape from the pressures. From the thinking all the time, from the planning, the keeping things, you know, what do I do next? So television is a main escape. It's designed for it. In fact, some people need escape so much they'll binge watch something for 36 hours. Your soul does not need 36 hours of escape.
No.
You follow. Unless you just don't want to go back again. And I've heard, it's never happened to me, but I've heard it being a husband's wife will get on each other's nerves. Well, so I'm going whatever. And I'll be back later. So they go and they, you know, go bowling or fishing or whatever, and come back later, and they're fine. Had a few hours of escape. Some people just say, I'm not coming back.
Right.
That's it. And they escaped what they thought was their problem permanently. And how many of the problem goes with you? You can't escape things by ignoring things. You escape them by overcoming the cause of oppression. So some people, television, may not look for peace. Social media, again, I've noticed I can go look up something on Google and hit Facebook on the way and be there an hour and realize, what was I going to look up on Google? Sports. I really believe God's trying to wean me off of sports. My teams keep losing. Hobbies, recreation. I wrote down buying and selling. A lot of people just like to buy and sell stuff. You know, it's make some money or do this, whatever. They get caught up in this world activity, and it's an escape for them. Others go harder for drugs and alcohol. A lot of people that do drugs and alcohol are looking for some type of escape or remedy in their soul.
Yeah.
Something to get the pressure off or give them a better time than they're having naturally.
Right.
Yeah. I did a lot of drugs in my past. Drank an ocean of alcohol. And I found that there's nothing but touch the presence of God to give you rest that the world has. And God's presence might be anointed. And so, I've read a list. I think some of you could probably add to it what you think are, you know, escapes people take. And I'm guessing everybody here is connected to these to some level. Does anybody here not have any soulless escapes? Something you do just to wind down, to recover from the day? Anybody not? I guess it's everybody. Probably some of this list. Now I'm going to ask the question. Now we start to get personal. Don't get mad at me. I'm just giving you what I believe God gave me, what He's instructing me. Here's my question. Are you listening?
Yes.
How much escapism will we require or desire in heaven?
Oh.
How much escapism, rest for our souls, will we require or desire in heaven?
Yes.
Man. I've been directing those angels all day. I am wore out. I need to see some Beverly Hillbillies. I don't believe it's going to be fun. I believe it's going to be joy unspeakable. I believe it's going to be eternal peace. I believe we get a prayer. You will be there 1,000 years before you can wipe the grin off your face. And then you'll think about it again and start all over in another 1,000 years. There will be no escapism in heaven. Does anybody agree with that? How about agree with me louder? Does anybody agree with that?
Yes.
All right, now we have a church. So here's the question. Why not manifest heaven in and on our lives right now?
Yeah.
Well, things will be different in heaven. There won't be any devil. There won't be any problems. You've already been given authority and power over all that now.
Yes.
Do you follow me? I know you need physical rest, but there's a place we can get into in redemption revelation. Soul salvation. We don't need the world to provide us rest for our souls anymore. Well, I only watch, you know, Christian movies. Well, praise God. That's great. But I believe there's a higher level of peace available to us than anything the television can produce. Are you with me? Isaiah 53. Let's lay some groundwork. Isaiah 53. Let's start at verse 4. This is talking about Jesus. It's a very familiar passage for us. Surely he has borne our griefs. See the word griefs? It's better translated as sicknesses. And carried our sorrows. Really a better translation is pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded or defiled for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Apparently, Jesus took something at the cross. He experienced something at the crucifixion that provided peace for us. And we can go to the world for peace, or we can go to God for peace. There is a natural peace, which is the escape from focusing on the pressure. Or there's a supernatural peace that will give you deliverance from even being pressured. I want God's form.
Amen.
Do you follow me? Let's take this a step further. Isaiah 54, look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, talking about Jesus. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, his soul an offering. He had to lay down his soul. Jesus was stressed in the garden. Didn't want to go through what he was about to go through. Do you follow me? He experienced grief. He offered his soul. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, why do I have the wrong verse written down again? Yeah. What's that?
It said 54, we were 53:10.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why. 54:10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. God says, I'm giving you a covenant of peace. How many are thankful for the covenant of salvation?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
How about the covenant of healing?
Yes.
We have a covenant of prosperity.
Yes.
Right, Deuteronomy 18, we have a covenant. And now we see there's a covenant of peace. Now, I'm doing everything I can to tap into the covenant of salvation. In fact, I do when I confess Him as Lord, right? But I guard that. I'm doing what I can to tap into the covenant of healing. He paid for it, I want it. I'm doing what I can, I'm sowing the seed, I'm tithing, confessing for the covenant of prosperity, and it's working. God's blessing us, right? And now He says there's a covenant of peace. I want that as well. Understand, God's peace is supernatural. It transcends what you can get from watching Barney Miller reruns or binge watching any program. Look at Matthew chapter 27. This is part of the crucifixion. And I've shared this many times before, so bear with me if you've heard it, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again, right? Matthew chapter 27, look at verse number 29. And when they had plaited, you know, they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, I've got a message I've done over the past called The Great Exchange that talks about 35 to 40 things Jesus experienced at the cross that purchased something for us. You know, He took stripes for our healing, right? Blood was shed for our salvation. We could go on through here. They stripped Him naked for our prosperity. But it says they put a crown of thorns on Him. I mean, they wove it together and shoved a crown of thorns on Him. And of course, that produced blood flow as well. But thorns, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 with the fall, God told Adam, He said, because you've done this, the earth is cursed for man's sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring up. And by the labor or sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth your harvest, your crop, your food. When man fell, labor entered.
Yes.
And he said, now that the earth is cursed, it's going to produce thorns, which are a representation of the effects of the curse. And when Jesus took the crown of thorns upon His head, it was a representation of Him taking the curse upon His own soul. Crown of thorns, the curse upon His mind, to purchase for us a covenant of peace. And I believe it's a supernatural peace that Adam had access to in the garden. But Jesus came to restore everything that Adam lost at the fall. And again, what we don't know to access by faith, we won't receive by faith. We won't receive it all. So I'm telling you tonight, there's a supernatural peace we can access that transcends social media and television's capabilities. But here's the gist. To tap into the supernatural, you may have to exit some of the natural. You can't go after natural peace and supernatural at the same time. That's like, you know, bitter water and sweet from the same fountain. That's like, you know, trying to serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't do the natural and the supernatural and expect supernatural results. So it could be there's going to be a required of us to go into the supernatural peace, a weaning off of our source of natural peace. Understand, I said weenie, not cold turkey. You follow what I'm saying? When you can't watch TV anymore, can't do social media. No, I'm still doing it. But I believe I'm in a process of weaning. You can ask my wife, I don't watch much TV anymore. Usually 10 at night, I'll sit down and be subjected to whatever she's watching.
Only if it's a fever bed.
And I'm really trying to wean off the social media. Well, the only one I do is Facebook. I never did Twitter or any of those others. X, that's Twitter now, isn't it? Whatever that might be. To reduce that, focus on bringing other inputs. In fact, this week I doubled the amount of Christian programming I'm taking every day. I'm taking all faith programming, but I've doubled the number of shows I'm taking because I'm going to start going to that to pump word and revelation versus what the world has to offer. And I think there's coming a time. There's coming a time we'll be totally off these natural sources. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm ahead of myself, but I think I need to be. Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. We all, with open face, in other words, you're teachable, you're open, beholding us in the glass, that's the word, the glory of the Lord, we see the word, the glory inside the word. It's our source. Are changed into the same image as Jesus, he's the word made flesh. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It says, we are changed through time looking in the right source. Did you follow me?
Yeah.
Now listen, there's other ways you can get word. It doesn't have to be by putting your nose in the Bible. Rick Renner does a great job of teaching the word. Started watching Nancy DeFrank, great job of teaching the word. Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Seville, these guys are teaching his word. And that's a source of spiritual revelation. Reprogramming your mind, your soul with truth. Do you follow? You can listen to radio broadcasts, you know, podcasts, all these guys on the internet now. So many sources of input that help to change us from glory to glory. You follow me? And I believe God's going to take us to a winning process. Transitioning, not cold turkey. Don't think I can't do this anymore. You will burn yourself out if you try to go cold turkey. Of shutting down part of it, putting in more spiritual. Shutting in more, putting more in the spiritual. And by the time we get to glory, we'll be free from dependence upon natural inputs. Can you still watch it? Yeah. But it won't be your source of escape. It'll be some form of entertainment. Right now, people look for escape. God said, I've got your escape. It's my word. Now, Philippians chapter 4.
Sorry.
See, God's plan for us, I'm about to make a key point. Have I got your attention? God's plan for us is to be overflowing spiritually, that we're content in all situations. Nothing ruffles us. Supernatural peace floods our souls from abiding in the presence of God. I've been there. Again. All night prayer we did for so many years, and I'm going to do it again. My body can be exhausted. But my soul needs, you've got a responsibility to go. God told you to do it. He's not rescinded that order yet, so you better make it happen. I still have trouble going to sleep on Friday nights. It's like that assignment's still there. Yes. And I'll pray into much of the night Friday night still. And I know you're doing it with me, right? I'd be exhausted. I'd drive from Frankfurt to Georgetown for prayer. Start praying and energy. We call it the caffeine anointing. We tell our bodies, glory to God, I'm not tired anymore. As we pressed in praying, supernatural peace would come into place. the glory would come in, the love would come in. And we'd enter what I call the don't mess with me zone, where you're just you and God. And be so glad we told the flesh to shut up and made the soul to come. Or made it to come. The soul made the flesh to come. And you'd be energized, spirit, soul, and body by the end of the prayer time. Supernatural. There is a supernatural peace we have available. But you've got to pursue it by faith. Really more just don't depend on the natural. I hope somebody's enjoying this tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Are you there? Look at verse 7. Well, verse 6, we've got to start there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, he says, is a peace that passes understanding. And understand, you can't comprehend it. How many of you believe in Jesus? May I ask you a question? Do you believe in Jesus because history tells us he's a real character? There's books written about him. Even read about him in the book. Do you believe in him because of that? Let me answer for you. No. You believe in him because he made himself real to you.
Yeah. In my heart, real in my life.
You believe because he showed up and visited you in some fashion. Something inside of you said, this is real.
Yep.
It's more than just reading it and getting some knowledge. It was experience.
Yeah.
And for many of us, he's done more than just kind of visit us. He's spent time with us. Yes. I mean, I've had too many times sitting there with Jesus. As far as the presence of God. Overwhelmed by love and peace and joy. Whatever form it's taking. And, you know, tears forming in your eyes or whatever it might be. Of course, John B. Baldwin. But his presence is so real.
Yeah.
Now try to explain that to somebody else who doesn't know Jesus. Try to tell some of your friends or family members that don't believe in God or, you know, maybe surface saved. Yeah, God comes in and I experience him in the presence of God. It's just so overwhelming. You can't explain it. You can say, there's just such a peace and such a love. Wait, do what? It's more than in my mind. It's tangible all around me.
Yeah.
Right? It passes what you're trying to explain that you've experienced. Passes their understanding. And God says, I've got a peace that passes your understanding. It passes natural comprehension. So I'm talking about shutting down some other sources of escape. That there's a peace beyond that. So you go, I don't know about all that. Like Amazon Silver or Echo Silver. Y'all remember Echo Silver commercial? Better move on. It was, do you know what an Echo is, an Amazon Echo?
Yeah.
It's little round things or whatever you speak at, say, you know, Alexa, turn on this or whatever. I got them all through my house. Got them outside. And they came up with a fake commercial for Echo Silver, which was for the senior generation. And it would answer any name. Except Alopecius, whatever name. It would entertain the conversation of everybody. It had the uh-huh mode. You'd be talking, uh-huh, uh-huh. And the guy that was in the commercial kept saying, I don't know about that. That's what I was getting at. So, this peace I'm talking about, if you've not experienced it, you can't comprehend it. You just got to, by faith, go after it. How many believe this word?
Yes.
How many believe this word is true or inspired of God?
Yes.
Right? Reported truth is all inspired of God. God breathed. And if it says it, it's true.
Yes.
And Paul says here, there's a peace that passes understanding. Now, I'll tell you what, before I experienced divine healing and divine health, I didn't know about that. But I spent time in the Word seeing it. I know the Word said it, so I went after it. And I went after it hard, and I got it. Do you follow me? When I saw financial blessing in the Word, I heard it preached. I don't know about that. I thought God wanted us poor to keep us humble. Not the Word. It's in the Word. He wants us wealthy. So I went after it. And I've watched it manifest for many, many years. Now, am I rich? Or did you say no, but I'm moving that direction? I got seed in the ground. And no worries. And when I see peace in the Word, whether I've experienced it or not, I'm going after it. Now, I've experienced it by now. I've been in that zone, don't mess with me. Don't mess with my peace. I remember back in our prior to Jesus days, some of you like me about a few times or whatever. And we'd say, man, don't mess with my high. Don't mess with my peace. Well, it's an artificial one. God's got a real one, an anointed supernatural. Y'all are flashing back right now, aren't you? I bet you stayed there a lot. Don't mess with me. Wayne, shut up. Get away from me. She's pointing back at you. He's got one that will get you to the place. You don't want nothing to mess with it. Just nothing to mess with it. And we can access it now by faith. Just pursue it. Shut something off. Extend a little bit. Wean a little bit. Watch a 30-minute program. You follow me? Pray after. Pray in the Spirit a while. Say, God, give me that peace. And you start seeing a transition take place to, wow, God, you got this. From worry to faith and confidence. Luke chapter 5. Frosty, can I see you at the service?
No.
Oh, can we pause the meeting so I can talk to Frosty? Because it's about him. Luke chapter 5. And let's go to verse number 39, Jesus speaking. No man also, having drunk old wine straightway, desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. And he's talking about something here that he says, when people have had something in the past, they don't want anything to change their routine. They don't want anybody to change what they're used to, what they're dependent upon, what they like. But I believe God's got a new wine that surpassed what they had in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I believe here he's comparing the Old to the New Testament. You know, people in the Old that are following the law, oh, this is the best. Well, no man could access the powers of God for the most part under that covenant. The new is better. And God's telling us, there's things we've done all of our lives, routines we're in, habits we're in, escapes we've involved ourselves in. But God's got something better.
Yeah.
You gotta disconnect from your dependence on one and your faith in one and your reliance on one to move to the new. Even with healing, with divine healing, there comes a place you confront symptoms and say, no, you're not having your way in my body today. You usually lay in bed and languish all day. You get up and do something. You speak the word. You walk the floor. I'm not talking about if you're about to die, but I'm talking about, you know, some things that you're going to recover from. Babylon. Now, see, you've got to get your head on the dashboard with a migraine. Do something to confront it. And because you're representing, I want the new. You're declaring through your actions, your words, I want the new. God's got it. Before pursue it. But you got to recognize this kingdom is real. That's the key. If I could get this across. This kingdom is genuine. It's real. It's anointed. It produces We have to believe that enough to go after it. Because it's not automatic. It's by faith. And faith requires action. Decisions. Quality decisions to pursue something different. Psalm 55. Let's go to some verses on this. We've made our points. Now it's reinforcement time. You know, when you're nailing boards together, the first time you hit the nail is just to set the nail. Then you smack it to drive the nail. Well, we've set the nail, now let's drive this thing home. Amen. I'm enjoying this even if you're not. But, you said you wanted everything God had. Here we go. You're to blame for this. Psalm 55, are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 18. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth the whole Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. God says, I'll give you peace in the midst of battles. Most people want peace once the battle's over. God said, I've got a supernatural peace that is available during the battle. It's available now. Amen. Psalm 119. Another familiar verse for us. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, the covenant, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing will rattle you. It's more than just somebody can't hurt your feelings. You're unrattleable. The battles don't bother you. There's a peace that passes understanding. No matter what's taking place, everything may be collapsing around you, but you have peace. I know Kevin and Diana went through some major challenges in the last few years with their business. But I'll bet for the most part they kept the peace. Didn't have meltdowns, say it's not working, we quit. They just prayed, find out what God said to do, and made adjustments. You recover. Great peace have they which love the covenant. They love the kingdom of heaven. Agreement they've been bought into. And when they get that peace, they're unshakable. Doesn't matter how much of a honeybee list they have, how much the government's trying to attack them, whether the Fox News is saying what they want to hear or not, they have great peace. And I've had great joy in the past week with some of the decisions that have been made in this nation, some of the results internationally. You follow me? But had they not turned that direction, I would have kept my peace. How about you?
Yes.
Trying to think of the right example to use. I have a lot of hot sauce at home. Quite a few jars. I like hot sauce. And hot sprinkles. I got hot pickles. I had hot pickled eggs, but I ate all those. Hot pork rinds. And my hot sauces, they stay bottled up and they're still useful and work fine whether the world's in World War III or not.
That's right.
And you can treat your peace like that. You guard it. I couldn't think of a better example than hot sauce. You know, Patty would have been her chocolate stash.
Right.
Her chocolate stash is protected whether the world's in war or not. She got her chocolate. And she's been holding off on it. You haven't eaten much chocolate lately. You're down with 13?
Yeah.
13 pounds, Dan?
That's great.
Thanks God.
13 pounds of candy. You're good, girl.
I'm almost halfway to my goal. I'm down 26.
That's awesome.
It was 27 a week ago, but then company came. And so we should guard our peace. We don't let anything interrupt it or steal it. And you can do it. If the worries try to rise up, fears try to rise up, shut up, devil. I have a peace that passes knowledge. Worship God. Just put the music on, worship God, and watch it come in. In fact, I've shared on this many times. Nothing seems to produce peace in your life like shutting off distractions, putting on great worship music, getting caught up with Him, and peace comes. You're stressed, put on worship music. I'd rather watch an old Western. I like old Westerns too. But I find I can watch 15 old Westerns in a row. I've never have. I've watched two in a row. I can watch two Westerns in a row. And my peace level, as far as supernaturally, hasn't changed a bit. None of my problems have gone away. I just spent 4 hours watching, you know, Gene Autry or whatever, Roy Rogers. John Wayne. Now, John Wayne should have a, should produce a peace, right? Should produce change. Did that. But I could put on 20 minutes of worship and get caught up. I put on 10 minutes of worship and get caught up. That peace all of a sudden swooshes in. And of course, we talked about going into the glory. Three things required really to manifest the presence of God. Three things. Do you remember the three things? Holiness, yes, thank you, Casey.
Great.
Charles.
Holiness.
Charles Casey. Casey Chance. No. The first one was holiness. Second one was worship. The third one was all in. Well, that's some of the same route to going into supernatural peace. Because it goes with the presence of God coming in. We can live there. Isaiah 26. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Man, I still got a bunch of scriptures to go. Well, I'm going to cover some of those. Isaiah 26. Look at verse number 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. How many want perfect peace?
Me.
Andy Griffith cannot produce perfect peace no matter how many times you watch the Kerosene Cucumbers episode. Sis is rest. Nip it in the bud. Thou will keep him in a supernatural perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Yes.
Because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace I'm after. But this is your mind is stayed. Now, do you see that passage? Look at the verse. Do you notice anything in italics in that verse? If you have a printed version. A lot of times the devices don't show the italics. What's it say?
Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you and they constantly trust in you.
That's good. But on thee here is italicized. It's not the original. It's whose mind is fixed. Mind is stayed. It's not wandering everywhere. It's not bouncing to this kingdom, to that kingdom, the natural, the supernatural. It's stayed on truth. It stayed on the kingdom. Now, on thee is fine. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
But sometimes you need your mind stayed on God's prosperity covenant. Sometimes you need to stay on His healing covenant.
Yes.
You follow me? Sometimes on His, your children being saved covenant or your marriage being blessed. You fix your mind on what God has said and you have peace. I tell you what, I've had some battles mentally over the years. I'm talking about the enemy coming in like a flood and boom, 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 boom. And all you can do is just fix your mind on what God said. What the Word say, what God told you, don't be moved, stay on that, and don't look at anything else no matter what floods are hitting your mind. How many of you have been on boats in the ocean? Several of you? How about you've been on boats other than a cruise ship on the ocean? Some of you. I've been out, Pastor Jim and I, in 2001, I think it was, with scuba diving in Myrtle Beach the day after a hurricane came through. On a little boat. Little charter scuba boat, you know. And it probably held 16 people or something. I don't know that many.
Little
tanks. And we're like this. I tell you what they tell you. Just look at the horizon. Keep your focus on the horizon. Don't take your eye because you'll get caught up in the up and down. You're going to lose it. And Pastor Jim, he lost it. I've never seen anybody regurgitate like that in my life. I'm about to string that big around straight out. He was looking green. We're sitting by the captain up there. We're sitting by the captain. Of course, the captain's standing up on his wheel like this in an open boat. The captain sees this and says, young man, just let it go. Just let it go. You'll feel better. By the time he leans up, it's gone. No, but I was backing off, I'll tell you right now. I was in the line of fire, but it shot us so far, I had no chance to come back. Mind is stayed. Your focus stayed. If you want to combat getting sick with the things of the world, keep your mind on the horizon of God. Keep it on what He has said. And a peace will come on you that transcends the natural. But what I'm getting at is what God's been speaking to me is start weaning off of the outside sources of peace. It's one thing to just put some worship in your day. It's another thing to start transitioning to living in His presence. And 4 hours of TV a day is not going to produce it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I back off of that. 4 hours of television a day is possibly going to compromise it. Amen? I'm sure if you worship God for 12 hours a day and spend 4 on TV, you're going to experience some glory. But start weaning off of what you're doing just for soul rest. I just need to collapse and rest. Put some worship music on. See what happens. Put this to the test. See what He does. I believe He will show up. Isaiah 32. I'm trying to decide if I should keep going or stop. Isaiah 32. We'll stop here once we finish this.
30.
Come back to it next week. Are you there? Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now understand, righteousness is more than holiness. It's different from holiness.
Yes.
Righteousness is who God made you when you were saved. When you were born again, God changed your nature from a sin nature to a righteous nature. And because you've been made righteous and born again, you have rights to the kingdom. Sinner has no rights to God's covenant. The righteous do. And one of the greatest revelations I ever got was finding out I was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I was saved 10 years before I heard that. 10 years I never heard anybody preach that. At least not that got through. And I heard it and it jumped at me. Because for years I was just fighting. God was going to throw me out of heaven because I messed up again, or I said the wrong thing, or fell asleep in prayer. I was on fire for God, but yet I walked in this performance mentality. I was always trying to, get approval from God. And when I found out I was righteous, He already loved me. I couldn't be any more righteous than I was right now, internally. It gave me a peace I cannot explain. It was the most transitional revelation of my walk with God. Finding out I was righteous. And I discovered the more that I had that revelation, the more of His covenant I will tap into by faith. The more I walk in confidence and faith for His promises. The more I recognize He loves me. I'm going after Him. He loves me with everything He has. I'm His favorite. I know I can win in every situation. And I do win in every situation. Follow? Righteousness revelation transforms your life. But it says the effect is going to be peace. Instead of being afraid, if you're always messing up, you have peace with God. And because you have a covenant, you have His promises available, you have peace over every storm that tried to hit you in life. I mean, what's the devil? What's the worst the devil can do to you? Send you to heaven early? Keep your peace. And it says the effect is going to be quietness and assurance forever. Peace brings you to a quietness and assurance, a confidence in the things of the kingdom. Keep professing through the righteousness of God Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And then we'll start weaning into the things of the kingdom. Did you get anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
Father, we thank You for Your word, Your assignments, Your love, Your peace. And I ask You right now, Lord God, to speak into the lives of each one here that this week and the following days, they start to intentionally wean off of some of the past escapes and pursue You and stay in, Lord God, and that You show Yourself strong. You show them it works. You addict them to Your presence, Your glory, to Your peace, Your love. I thank You, Lord God, we come together next week. We have testimonies. Testimonies available of what God's done and access to this power. I thank You in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear. Oh, none in strife. Covenant church. We live in peace one with another. We thank You. We give You praise in Jesus' name.